At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, this morning, we continue our series Charged, where we look at all aspects of EVs on our roads and in our lives, whether as private cars or public transport. Yesterday, we looked at lithium-ion battery technology and fire risk, especially when it comes to light EVs like e-bikes and e-scooters. Today, we're looking at parking infrastructure in the light of the weight of EVs and the structure of some of the older multi-storey car parks, be they located in shopping centres or hospitals, office blocks or apartments. Obviously, a single-storey basement car park has no structural issues since parking is effectively on the ground. Now, joining me is Chris Wapples, Chartered Civil and Structural Engineer and Parking Consultant. Chris, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, passing listeners.
Now, I want to ask you about car parks that were built, multi-stories that were built maybe in the 60s and 70s, and how fit for purpose they still are.
Yes, I mean, they're used in everyday use at the moment, but vehicles have changed so much in the last 10 years. They've become bigger, they've become heavier, and it's the sheer weight of them now that's actually causing a bit of an issue, because they're actually heavier than those car parks were originally designed for. And some of those car parks are probably in quite poor structural condition, and as they get older, they get weaker. And we've now had to flag this up through the Institution of Structural Engineers, which means that those early car parks that are in poor condition need to be assessed, really, just to make sure that they are suitable for everyday use. Mm.
Now, at the moment, we are in every car park. You'll have a mixture of vehicles. Some will be petrol, some will be diesel. Some will have aluminium cylinder blocks, others will have steel. Some will be large vehicles, some will be small. But by comparison with the vehicle mix that we would have had in the 60s and 70s, how much heavier are cars generally before we talk specifically about EVs?
Okay, well, give you an example. The average family saloon back in the 1970s was the Mark III Cortina. And that weighed 980 kilograms, which is just under a ton. If you look at, say, a Tesla Model 3, which is an average family saloon EV, that's weighing 1,800 kilograms, which is approaching 2 tons. So they've almost doubled in weight. And as you can see, it's a huge escalation there. And that doesn't actually include the passengers and the luggage that you put into the vehicle.
So effectively, that average car has almost doubled in its weight. But I know that civil engineers who designed those multi-storey car parks would have built in a huge amount of structural leeway. They wouldn't be designing just for the car park being full of average cars. They would have built in a lot of redundancy in their design.
You're absolutely right. And We designed originally back in the 1960s and 70s for a car that weighed 2.5 tons, that's 2,500 kilograms. And that included passengers and luggage. And now some of the high-end vehicles, you know, the Range Rovers and the executive saloons, are now weighing in excess of 3 tons. And it is a consideration, because it means that the factors of safety are being eroded away.
So that margin for error has been reduced dramatically. Again, though, just for a pure sense of safety, we're very unlikely to have a car park full of Range Rovers, are we?
No, you're absolutely right there. But the problem is you only need one overloaded vehicle to cause an incident. And it could be anywhere within a ramp or within one particular parking bay.
Now, EVs are often being blamed specifically for this because of the weight of the battery. But the EV has a much lighter engine, one presumes. An electric engine is much simpler. And of course, there's no fuel tank full of fuel. So if you have an SUV, the electric version versus the internal combustion version, is there much difference in the weight?
Yes, it's huge, actually. The EV is much, much heavier. It doesn't really matter about the EVs that are the sort of city EVs, you know, the little Renault Zoes and the Nissan Leaf. It's going up to the high-end vehicles where the issue is, where you're actually wanting to have long-range EVs that will do somewhere in the region of 300 miles on a battery. You've literally got to make the vehicle really large to accommodate a heavy battery. And that battery can be weighing half a ton, which is 500 kilograms. Now, it doesn't add 500 kilograms to the whole vehicle because the manufacturers try and shave weight off elsewhere. But the shavings in weight are very small compared with the weight of the battery.
The question of design standards then going forward, if back in the 60s and 70s we were acknowledging that a very good margin of error for the typical one-ton car, now we've got a two-ton car, what sort of margin for error are we building in to, say, the most modern multi-storey car park?
Yes, we've recommended through the Institution of Structural Engineers new design requirements for car parks that instead of designing for 2.5 tonnes per square metre, we're now recommending that's increased to 3 tonnes per square metre, which is, you know, not a massive increase, but it's enough to maintain acceptable levels of safety within the car park.
The question then of existing car parks, can they be retrofitted in some way structurally to enhance their strength?
Yes, there's a number of things you can do. I mean, the first thing is to assess them, because a lot of the car parks where they've been well maintained will be fine. But the first thing is to do a structural assessment. If there are a few areas that need upgrades, that can be done structurally. But if it's prohibitively expensive to upgrade the whole car park, one can consider things like parking all the heavy vehicles on, say, the ground floor, or maybe having some electronic tagging system where it recognises the number plate, understands the vehicle that's going in, and directs it to a particular point where the car park is strong enough to take the loading.
When you look at loading on a car park deck, you'd imagine it would be the average loading. So if you've got one or two heavy vehicles in a deck that would take maybe 30 or 40 vehicles, you might think, well, the load will be spread. Is that the case, or can you have points of vulnerability?
Yes, it is spread, but you do have points of vulnerability. And of course, if you have an area of concern within the actual structure itself, maybe there's been some corrosion or it's suffering from loss of strength in a particular area, that's where the risks actually increase. And one needs to assess the loadings to take that into account, because you can't tell motorists where to park in the car park. They will choose where they want to park. So therefore, you have to make the whole structure suitable for them.
The question then of battery charging, should that be normal in multi-storey car parks or not at all?
That's a real point of conjecture at the moment. To achieve the rollout of charge points, yes, you need to have charge points within a car park. Plus the fact that car parks are very much the destination of a journey, and you can arrive sometimes with almost a flat battery. So you need to actually have that facility to charge. The big issue we're dealing with at the moment is the fire risk that's imposed by having EVs within a car park.
And that's something we addressed on the programme already. When you have the potential for thermal runaway with a lithium-ion battery, it's very rare, but Do you think, therefore, that it has to be, you know, built into the design of car parks? If you're going to have charging, you have to have some sort of fire prevention or fire elimination systems allied with the charging.
Yes, absolutely right. And the way that we're recommending it's dealt with is to have a sprinkler system within the car park. It won't actually put out the fire, but it will reduce the rate of spread to the adjacent vehicle, which means the fire service can then come in and actually extinguish the fire. But EV fires are significantly different from petrol and diesel fires, insofar as once the battery catches fire, it is almost impossible to put it out, and it generates so much additional heat and very rapidly sets fire to the cars adjacent to it.
So the idea would be to have a sprinkler system that keeps the temperature down to delay that spread.
Yes, it really cools the adjacent vehicles rather than puts the vehicle out that's on fire, and that reduces the spread to the adjacent vehicle.
Will that be the design standard going forward then, Chris?
Yes, it will be.
The likelihood, of course, is that battery technology will change over the coming years. It may well be that batteries with scientific developments will become lighter.
Yes, I really hope so. And I really hope that they become more stable and we don't have, you know, this thermal runaway and the potential of a car fire. Because at the end of the day, as designers of car parks, we can only design for the circumstances that we have. And it's the manufacturers who have the control on the battery manufacturer and the cars that they're fitted into.
Do we have internationally agreed standards yet for car parks going forward?
The answer is I don't know if we have internationally agreed standards. We're certainly liaising with Europe and we're liaising with America, but they each tend to have their own professional institutions and standards that write their own codes and practices.
And finally, Chris, I should ask you, do you or would you drive an electric car and park in a multi-story car park?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. Yes. We mustn't demonise electric vehicles. And we've got to go forward, haven't we, with some confidence. And there are probably a lot of electric vehicles on the road now. Is it something like between 10 and 18%? And, we're not having instances every day with electric vehicles. So please don't think we're trying to demonize them. We just want to make car parks as safe as we possibly can based on the knowledge we've got.
Okay, so eyes wide open and do what we can to future-proof the car parking and make sure everybody's safe. Chris Webbles, who's a chartered civil and structural engineer and parking consultant. Chris, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit hyland.com.